also known as sit down. Please. Thank you. It's my pleasure to introduce Sharon Keller. She's a computer scientist at NIST, and Apostle is also going to hear this. I don't know why it's got no. Apostle's name, but Apostle, if you want to chip in, you're more than welcome. So she's from the computer division, security division, NIST. In fact, all of us, many of us know CMVP, and we all work with it. But even more of us work with CAVP. And we probably never noticed or asked about who Sharon Keller is, because that's the success story. She does things so fast, and her whole division does everything so fast. Algorithms, the turnaround time is a week or maximum 2 weeks that we never, you know, ask for. Hey, where is Sharon? And this is Sharon, in case you want to be. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you. So good morning, everyone. So I work at NIST, and as Nithya said, I'm in the cryptographic algorithm validation program. And what I'm going to do today is tell you how do we come up with the validation tests for all the different cryptographic algorithms that we currently support. I'm going to discuss the process that the CAVP goes through to follow the to develop validation testing for cryptographic algorithms. I'm going to talk about the different types of tests there are, and I'm going to talk about the cryptographic algorithm standards that we currently recognize, and the various stages that the validation testing that's the CAVP has validation testing for. Some of them we have validation testing for, some of them are in the works, and some of them are in line to start. First of all, I'll start with our mission. And our mission is to provide the federal agencies in the United States and Canada with assurance that a cryptographic algorithm has been implemented according to the specifications in the applicable standard. And you ask, how do we do this? Well, the CAVP does this by providing testing to determine the correctness of an algorithm implementation. In addition to determining the conformance of an implementation to the specifications in a standard, the validation test suite also are structured to detect implementation flaws that may exist in an implementation. The algorithm validation testing process begins with the review of the requirements and the algorithm's specifications in a cryptographic algorithm document. And these documents include the special publications produced by the special publications and the FIPS that have been published and have been developed by NIST's cryptographic technology group. Once these standards have been published, and the specifications have been determined, that's when I look at those standards. I identify the requirements of the standard that are usually identified by the shall statements in those standards. I identify the components, the functionality, and the mathematical formulas that need to be tested. And from all this information, we develop and implement the algorithm validation test suite. This test suite has to test the requirements addressable at the CAVP level. It needs to test the metrics, it develops the test metrics for testing the algorithm. It exercises all the mathematical elements, and it assures that the specifications in the standard have been implemented correctly. If anything deviates from the specifications in the standard, the validation test should fail, indicating an implementation flaw. And at that point then, the vendor would know what's wrong with their implementation, and they would be able to go back to the development and figure out what the problem is in their implementation. Once the tests have been finalized for validating an implementation. I developed the user documentation and the guidance for that validation test suite. Out on our web page, which must be another page, so I won't go there. Okay, so I developed user documentation. We call that a validation system document, so a VS document. And it documents the test suite, and it provides instructions on how to implement those validation tests around your implementation. So that's where all the information is obtained for that. Now, there are different types of validation tests that that we develop. One is called the known answer test, and this test is designed to verify the components of an algorithm. So for example, if you think of triple DES and you think of the variable plain text test, that's a real easy one. What it does is it makes sure that each bit of the plain text, when it is set, some different answer comes out. So it makes sure that each bit is used in the computation of the whole answer or the whole output of that algorithm. We have a multi-block message test, which is designed to test the ability of an implementation to process multi-block messages, which may require chaining of information from one block to the next. The test would supply the IUT with messages that are integral numbers of blocks in length, and it would assure that it can handle that chaining of data. And then you have the Monte Carlo test, which is designed to exercise the entire implementation. And this is a pseudo-exhaustive test, which basically just keeps going through multiple loops and saying, you know, is it still working? Is it still working? Is it still outputting the right thing? And its purpose is to detect the presence of flaws in the IUT that were not detected with the controlled inputs of the known answer tests. We have positive testing. And positive testing is where the implementation is validated against valid input data. Real simple example here. Let's say you're adding. If I say what's 2 and 5, if you give me back a 7, I say your implementation is working correctly. If you give me back an 8, I say, you know, you have a problem there. You might maybe go back and look at that and see what the problem is. So, and the goal, as always, in this test is to prove that the given implementation has adhered to the specifications and the requirements in the standard. And, you know, you can think about an if-then-else statement or case statements and all that kind of stuff. You need to make sure that it's firing on both the if, the then, and the else so that, you know, you can't say that your implementation, well, in my implementation, I'm only going to have the situation, well, no, that's not adhering to the whole specifications of the standard. You also have to think about that else side as well. Okay. And then you have negative testing. And negative testing is a process where the implementation is validated against invalid input data. So it checks to make sure that an implementation behaves as expected with a negative input. And it makes sure that the IUT, the implementation under test, can recognize valid and invalid data. Usually this is used for the verification step, so either signature verification or PQV verification, where we introduce errors into things. So we introduce an error into the signature or any of the other values that go into producing the signature, and we see if your implementation says, oh, wait a second, that signature didn't verify, so does it recognize it or not? So currently, the CAVP has validation testing for all of these algorithms, and you can see that I've separated it into different categories of testing. So you can see we've got a good array of everything. The website, if you all are not familiar with it, is, and I didn't have it in a slide, I apologize. It's csrc.nist.gov /groups/st cavp.com/CAVP. And that's the CAVP website where it'll where you can get all the information on all of the algorithms that we currently have validation testing for. That's where all the validation system, the VS documents are, which tell you about the validation test suites, and also other information about the whole program. These next couple slides are just kind of showing just a sample of where the different tests are used. I kind of already told you about the known answer test. Again, usually these are firing on one bit at a time. The AES-GSF box consists of a set of vectors that hits every bit in the Galway field reduction and every S box at the same time when doing the encryption and decryption functions. And like the key S box, it consists of a set of vectors that hits every bit in the S box when it's used for the computation of keys and subkeys. So you get the gist of how that known answer test works. And then you have the multi-block message test and the Monte Carlo test. They're usually used for the symmetric key algorithms, but the Monte Carlo test is one that's used, you know, in just about everything. Positive testing is usually used for the signature generation functions, and then the signature verification tests usually use the negative testing. And we usually, when developing the validation test suite for this negative testing, we look at it and we say, well, what variables are involved in computing that signature? And once we identify all of them, we say, well, you know what, let's introduce an error into each one of those individually and make sure that an implementation can pinpoint that. So, for example, with RSA 186-4 signature generation, RSA, we introduce errors in the public key, the message, the IR format, the signature, and then we also make sure that that it can recognize a good signature as well. Back several years ago, a vulnerability was found in the format of the IR. And basically what that error was, in the specifications of the PKCS 1.5, which is one of the RSA algorithms, it said that you would generate this IR and you would have a certain format. And basically what would happen is you would have a whole bunch of Fs and then there was something else and then that's where the hash would go and then you could have other information in the back. But really nothing was looked at back there. Well, the number of F variables that were the number of Fs that were supposed to be in there was computed so that the total length of this field was the mod size. And it was determined that not all implementations looked to see that all the Fs were there. Basically, it would say, well, let me just keep reading the Fs. Once I get to the next thing, that was the last character. And now I look for that hash function. Well, the vulnerability is that additional information could be put behind that hash that only people that were aware that it was there would look for it. So when that vulnerability was identified, then we made sure we added a test to the validation testing that said, let's just see if we don't put enough Fs in there and we have the right hash and the signature looks like it should validate correctly, will they say that it validates correctly? And if they do, then they're not looking for the right number of Fs. So, you know, this is where we can introduce tests like this to make sure that the implementation is working to the specifications in the standard and not making shortcuts and causing vulnerabilities. SHA testing, we have all of these SHA sizes currently. So that would be your 180-4, your FIPS 180-4 document. And we test for bit or byte orientation, does it support zero length or not, messages, and the tests we use to test SHA implementations is a short message test, a long message test, and a Monte Carlo test. And by requiring all three of these tests to be run when validating a SHA implementation, this tests the complete implementation to the degree we think that it needs to be tested. Currently, the CAVP is in the process of validating or developing the validation tests for FIPS 202, which FIPS 202 is the SHA 3 standard that was just published in August. It specifies four fixed-length cryptographic hash algorithms, which is the SHA-3 224, SHA-3 256, 384, and 512, and two closely related extendable output functions, which is the SHAKE 128 and SHAKE 256. This testing is in the final, the validation testing for FIPS 202 is in the final stages of testing before it will be released to the public. So, hopefully we'll see that in a couple months, if not sooner. 56C, which is the key derivation through extraction and expansion, is also in the final testing stages. And then we have the SP800-132, which is half done, and hopefully will be completed this fiscal year as well. And then, as we look down that list, here's the rest of the algorithms that NIST has standards for, but we don't have any testing for it this time. And in the gap between validation testing is available, the CMVP usually develops a guidance on how do you, if you have an implementation of this, how do you get it, what's it, vendor affirmed, if it's in a cryptographic module. And then also we have these draft standards that are in the works. That's basically it in a nutshell.
I'm curious as to how, do you wait till the standard is complete before you do this? Is there interaction with the standard writers?
Yes. There is interaction between the cryptographic technology group and with the cryptographic algorithm validation program people. And basically we're working with them to make sure that the standards or the specifications they're putting in the standards are testable, okay? As far as, you know, why certain things are in a standard, that's their job. You know, they have the cryptographers and the mathematicians and everything that say, you know, you have to do it this way so it's not a vulnerability. A lot of times, not until the very last stage. I've done this before where I said, you know what, I'm gonna get in there while they're working on it and get the validation tested started, and that way it'll be ready when it comes out, and then changes are made. And then you're thinking, oh gosh, now I have to look through all of my code and everything and just determine where are these changes. So I deal with that and find out that it's best as soon as they say, you know, just some little things are going to change, but everything else is pretty good, then I can start working on it.
And do they sort of like review your test suite to make sure that from their perspective they can cover everything adequately?
Sometimes they do, and most of the time we run the test by them to assure that, you know, I understand everything on their side and that everything is, you know, is taken care of and is addressed. So yes. Yes.
Okay. Supporting that question, how do you perform kind of quality assurance on your code? Are you sure that new ciphers are implemented correctly? How do you do that? How can you ensure that the code that you have in your
Yes, the CT group They've already gone through testing with other parties, and I'm like NSA sometimes or other people, and they have test vectors that that they have for the different algorithms. So they know that their implementation's working. Then I can bounce it off of there. Also, this is a joint program between us and Canada, so I also bounce it off of Canada as well to assure that our implementation is correct. Also, you know, once I do one swipe at the algorithm test suite, the algorithm test suite that's needed for an algorithm, I then bounce it off of Canada, and I said, you know, here's what we have thought that is needed. What do you think? And then we get feedback from them as well to make sure that everything's tested thoroughly, that we haven't forgotten anything, and you know, go from there. Yeah.
I can provide an alternative, like the SHA-3 finalists. One of the code sets is available from NIST, but one of the SHA-3 finalists has incorrect vectors. So,
okay.
So there's yeah, some doing encouraging with the tools would be advantageous.
Okay. Well, if you can tell me what those incorrect vectors are, what
it's Sky is on the other end of Sky.
Okay. So you can let me know that. The CAVS tool is not available to the vendors right now, as you all know. And we've kept it that way up to this point because really, you know, what is it? I don't know, but that's the way we've done it. Okay. Will we change it in the future? There has been talk about, you know, what would that be? What would be involved if we let the vendors do that? Wouldn't it be great if the vendors could put in what they're testing exactly, so that you didn't have to relay that to the lab, and then the lab has to put it in the tool, and then, you know, all of that. So there's been talk about it. This is a challenge. The algorithms are getting more and more detailed and more, like you say, flexible and the different things like that. And so it's we're trying to figure out how best to handle that. But I'll keep that in mind and we'll start thinking about it more. Yes.
Sharon, where we might see something where the vendors will be required to test.
So I don't know if you have any timeline to, you know, we not until a standard is published can we even have validation testing for it. So you're talking about 90B and entropy. So, you know, that's that. I know we have the one entropy tool that but that's kind of, and that the guidance has said that there are additional, any kind of entropy tests are allowed for, in the module validation.
Meltem actually,
Meltem
is okay. The team and she may be able to.
I can give you a little update on
that. Okay, good. You had a question.
I have a different question, different topic.
Okay.
First of all, I have a comment, which is, as a vendor, I thank you very much for the quick turnaround on the certs. It's amazing how quickly you do that. Thank you.
Let me just say that the CAVP, because of the test tool, is black and white. You know, I mean, so our job is so much easier than the CMVP.
Agreed.
Yeah. So the CMVP does an awesome job getting the stuff out. But
thank you for auditing.
I'm glad I'm not in the CMVP for that reason.
No. Second thing is, we're doing some international EALs evaluations, and they like to see the CAVP certs. However, we have products that are using RMGs that are going to be certified, you know, first half of next year. Will that test still be available? Because DRBG is going to replace it in the U.S. Are you still going to have the RNGs available for certain numbers after?
The RNGs?
The RNGs.
As of January 1st, all of the RNGs will become non-valid, not supported anymore.
In the
U.S. And so we're going to have an RNG validation list that's in the historic page, so you'll be able to still see them, but we will not support them anymore.
You won't support additional testing on?
No, the RNG testing will go away. Thank you.
Unless there's any other questions. Thank you so much, Sharon. Thanks for the I just wanted to add one more thing that many of you probably already know, that on the CAVP website, there is an input test vector and sample output test vector too. So when you do, for the first time, especially when you have your own tools, you can actually practice with that and see that the expected result and what you get out of your test harness is the same. So there is a practice run, even this is in the absence that you have the exact tool available to you, all right? And many, many labs, including ours, would give you, easily give you one set to practice on like that, one set of input vector and sample output as a practice on, and then give you one without the answers so that, you know, everybody's life is easier then, right? So that's all I have to add. Thanks once again for the morning session. There's break in the break room right now. We have a break, and the exhibit closes today after the afternoon break. So please visit them. We are able to run this conference at a reasonable price because of the sponsors we get, right? So please do visit them. We encourage that. Thank you once again.